Good morning. I'm Coach Jake. We call all the pastors here coaches because we believe that God's called us to be a team. And we're in this series in John about belief. I'm excited for what we're going to learn about that today. But actually, in case you got questions on this, I wanted to tell you about this new pulpit that we've got. So we can go to this next picture. This is me with the goofy sunglasses and my buddy Zach Butler. Zach got to preach here, I don't know when that was, a while back. But Zach is the pastor at Gateway Church in Blue Springs. And during my sabbatical, Zach and I spent some time together in his wood shop building this. We went out in the woods, and this was like a tree on the ground that we chopped up and then put this top on it. So thank you, guys. There's a lot of stuff I got to do during sabbatical, but I wanted to do this piece. I really enjoy woodworking, and I wanted to bring that into kind of the sermons, right? This little symbol of that. So you guys have been so good to me, so thank you for that. And just wanted to tell you kind of where the story came from this. And, man, this part of it that I turned to you, this was like starting to grow some crazy fungus and was down in the mud, right? And as we preach here, because it's me and a bunch of other people starting to preach at Maywood, but it's okay to have the weak parts of us or the weird parts of us with a story like out there, right? We grow from that. So excited for this. Also excited for our scripture today. We're going to be in John chapter 6 if you want to turn there. And I'm going to tell you a little story about something that's pretty out there, but stick with me for just a couple minutes. So if we go to this next slide, we're going to take a deep dive into nerdiness for about 2 minutes. Okay, so stick with me. So there's this thing called a play date. It's this little like Game Boy thing, but with a crank that like a small group of people have made live in Portland. And they've been working on it for years. And it's one of those things of like on the internet, things get popular with a little subset of people for a little bit of time. So maybe like 50,000 people pre-ordered this or something. So like kind of a lot, but in the world of the internet, like not a ton, right? And for one of the guys that made this, he's been working on it for years and I think really poured his heart into it. And if you've ever really worked on something really hard and then you're going to put your thoughts out there, maybe it's kind of frustrating for people to just read your deep thoughts about stuff that you worked super hard on, just like with their thumb, like moving right through the middle and like scrolling past it, right? So this guy who made this thing and his buddies, as you can imagine, are nerds. And their little Twitter post up here, I don't expect you to read it, but the little Twitter post said, if you're up for it, go to this Gopher link to read this guy's thoughts about, like, why did we do this thing? Now, when you hear Gopher link, if you're like me, you're like, I don't even know what that means. What does that mean? Well, before the internet was what we think of as the internet with, like, www. Apparently, Gopher is, like, the mascot for some college in Minnesota that had, like, an alternative form of the internet way back in the day that still functions, but not very prettily, or like it's just all text, you know? And you have to like get into a terminal, which is like what I had to put in to get this thing. I had to type in like sudo apt-get install -y gopher to even be able to read this guy's thing. So we've left out like 99% of the world, right? Like as soon as you make people do that, you're like, what's a terminal? I don't even know what that means. So as weird as this is, the guy wrote, I don't know, like just a couple pages, but it's stuff that's all, like, it kind of is like trite. Some people might think of, like, this guy's really passionate about this little thing that he's doing. But he put it in such a hard way to get to that by the time you get there, if you tried that hard to get to read this guy's stuff, you're like, I'm along for the ride. I'm going to put some thought into this and really pay attention to what this guy's saying. And so it was so precious to him, he made it really hard to read. And in a way, my experience of having to get to something in a really difficult way, it made me read it differently, right? The challenge of it made me open up differently. So strangely, like, what's the most impactful thing I've read on the internet in weeks? It's this weird Gopher article this guy read. Like, I read it weeks ago, and it's still, like, in my mind. And it's because it was so hard to get to. It was, like, part of it. Now, as I'm saying all that, like, what does this have to do with the Bible, Jake? Well, if we go to this next slide here. I think we're going to have our passage. Yeah. So we're going to be talking about Jesus and being offensive, but we're going to be in John chapter 6, verse 60. So if you guys want to turn in your Bibles there, these are notes from last week. So I actually left my notes down here. I'm going to run this way, grab my notes, sorry, or my Bible at least, so we can read. But here you go, Samuel. Thank you, man. So Samuel came up during prayer. I was like, what do you want to pray about? And he said, I want to pray for Mr. Patrick to be healed. That's what he said. It was like, oh, man. So there you go. Kids get it better than we do, you know? So John chapter 6, verse 60 is where we're going to start. Now, anytime you're reading the Bible, you might be like, I don't understand this. That's actually an okay place to be. When we read the Bible, it's not, we don't read this so we can become scholars. As Christians, we read it so we can get to Jesus. So it's always wise, I think, when you're in that mindset to say, I'm going to ask Jesus to help me, right? So let's pray. Jesus, we need your help because we want to know you. We want to know all of you, even if it's offensive to us right now. Jesus, I'm the first to admit I need to change. So whether you want to offend me or encourage me, I want to listen. Jesus, please come teach us. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So, if you've been sticking with us the last few, well, quite a while, we've been in chapter 6. Beginning of it, Jesus feeds 5,000 people. Very popular move, feeding hungry people. They're very excited. So it goes from popularity, though, and Jesus continues to say stuff that confuses and offends people to where the crowd, if you were with us the last few weeks, the crowd, like, can't handle it. And they're like, oh, we think this guy's crazy, right? He's talking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. So the crowd takes off. You got to read closely to notice there's different groups of people being talked about here. So the crowd doesn't like the teaching, but today we're going to be talking about the disciples. But this isn't actually the 12 disciples, if you will just trust me on that, or if you want to read to the end of the chapter, he eventually gets to the 12 disciples at the end. So this is not the crowd, but it's a group of dozens or maybe even hundreds of people who have been following Jesus. They have kind of got that title of disciples or followers of Jesus. So this isn't just like people that showed up for free food. These are people trying to follow Jesus, okay? But it's not the 12 disciples here that it's talking about. So in verse 60, it says, on hearing it, many of his disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? So this stuff that Jesus has been talking about, I'm the only way. You got to eat me and drink me. You got to consume me to have real life, is what he's been saying. And I want to show this next image. It's of this like kind of rock. And I would say these disciples, they say the teaching is hard. And a lot of times the way you respond to other people is somewhat a reflection of yourself, right? They say the teaching's hard. But my guess is if they came at it, like my son came at this idea of like, oh, let's just pray for healing. Like, it's pretty simple, right? If they came at it with a childlike spot, they might have an easier time with it, right? But if your heart is hard, it makes a lot of things that God wants to do in your life seem hard, right? And maybe you've been running into that. Maybe you're like, man, all this stuff I keep hearing in small group, it's hard. Or all this stuff my sponsor keeps telling me is hard. Or doing this next step is hard. Whatever it might be. Now, I'm going to show you one more picture, and we're going to read these next few verses. When you have somebody that's hard-hearted and you want to teach them, this next picture kind of gives us two options here. And I think we all like this garden hose option. So if you got like a clump of dirt that is really hard because it's so dry, one of the ways you could soften it up is like just spray it with a hose, right? It's super hot, hard dirt, and you just, this nice, cool, refreshing hose, and it softens up. I think all of us are on board for that, right? If it's Monday morning, we flip open our little devotional or Jesus calling or whatever, and it feels like just this like soft rain on us, right? It feels soft and good. And there's nothing wrong with that. Like, God will meet us a lot of times in a very gentle way that will slowly, refreshingly change us. When you show up every day and listen to God, I think it's pretty often that he shows up in this, like, garden hose type of way. I'm going to give you something cool and refreshing and good, and it's going to soften you and make you more open to growing, right? So that's great. And I think a lot of us are up for that. I think what we're not up for is when Jesus shows up like this guy on the right, this blacksmith, who has just, like, stuck this iron into a super hot furnace for a very long time. And then after it's glowing hot and, like, hasn't it had enough, let's stick it on an anvil and, like, hammer it into the exact right shape. Now, obviously, this steel rod or whatever he's making, it has no free will and no choice, and so it's easy to watch it, right? If that steel rod were a person being shaped or formed, a lot of us would be like, oh, let's not do that. That's too hard. Like, let's just leave them a regular rod. Let's not make them into something new. If you knew Patrick and you saw the joy that he had 3 months ago, you'd think, man, Patrick is doing great, right? Patrick's doing so good. Now, I'm not saying, so I'm not claiming Patrick's wreck has anything to do with God by any means. But what I am saying is God's working in the midst of all that furnace that Patrick's life's been. And Jesus is continuing to push Patrick to grow more like him. It's hard, right? And some of us, we see how hard other people's lives can be, and we think, like, that's too hard. Sometimes we see our own lives, and we think, okay, I could handle this and this, but it's too much now that this other thing has happened. And we want to back out. We want to quit. And that piece of metal in the blacksmith's hands, it can't just, like, quit halfway through, right? It can't just say, like, okay, I was fine to go through the furnace, but I'm done with the hammer, right? Like, I'm not going to do the hammer thing. Well, it's like the furnace doesn't have any purpose if you don't trust the blacksmith through the whole process. In fact, if you just go in that furnace and come out and don't get touched, like, it's probably just going to be more deformed than when you went in, right? If you go through something hard in life and you don't trust Jesus through it, you're probably going to be more deformed on the back end of it than you were on the front end, right? But that's a lot of trust to go through a furnace and then say, and I can still take the hammer blows, right? So these disciples, the crowd is already taking off. The crowd didn't want to hear everything Jesus had to say, but these disciples are sticking around long enough to let Jesus explain himself, right? They're saying, this is kind of hard, Jesus. Like, how do you expect any of us to accept what you just said, right? And I think a lot of us, if you've ever led other people, if you put them through something really hard, at some point, you put your arm around their shoulder and you're like, okay, let me explain what's happening. Let me be more gentle. It's been a hard day or hard week or hard season. Jesus just kind of cranks up the heat on them and gets offensive, I would say, here. So verse 61, aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, which that's interesting, like, even just to think about, like, they're grumbling maybe to each other, but Jesus is aware of it. Sometimes we talk one way in church, and we get around other people, and we talk another way, and it's like, we don't know that Jesus, we don't pay attention that Jesus is hearing it all, right? But it says, aware of it, Jesus said to them, does this offend you? Anytime Jesus asks a question, it's good to pay attention to it. And I wonder, in your life today, like, if Jesus did something that offended you, how would you respond to it? Like, for them, everything Jesus is talking about, it offended their logic. Like, it didn't make sense to them. And they don't want to follow someone who says something that they can't understand. And for you today, maybe you get offended about something different, but I bet if you follow Jesus long enough, there'll come a fork in the road where Jesus is pushing something on you that offends you, right? We can sing about or pray about or claim, like, oh, Jesus' way is the best way. Jesus knows better than everyone. And I am a sinner and I need help. The logistics of that are logically, if I'm broken and not perfect, and if Jesus is perfect, at times he's going to see things differently than I see them. And if he understands way better than I understand, he's going to do some things that I don't understand, right? But what am I going to do when I get offended by Jesus? Because on your path of being a disciple of Jesus, of saying, I want to be a follower of Jesus, you are going to run into a moment where you think it's perfectly fine to live with your girlfriend before you get married, or you think it's perfectly fine to spend your money this way and not do this, or you think it's perfectly fine to whatever, or this is my view about gender, or like whatever it might be. You can run into something with Jesus where it's like, here it is, I'm offended by what Jesus says. And you then have to choose, what am I going to do when Jesus offends me? Now, there's a lot of ways we could offend each other. If we all passed the microphone around, I bet we could start offending each other, right? It's not just looking for offense and pushing everybody else around. But there is a heart set of saying, I trust Jesus enough. I'm not going to jump to conclusions that I know everything, or that my political party's right about everything or whatever, right? But are we going to stick with Jesus even when he does something that we don't at first moment agree with? And don't worry about everybody else in the room and how, oh yeah, they need to change. I hope they're listening. Think about whatever thing you're real passionate about that you wish I would preach about, and think about, what if Jesus said the opposite? Would I stick with him, right? If I didn't understand where he was coming from. Now, Jesus is never going to push something evil on us, right? But he is going to push us to places that we don't understand, and even to things that we don't understand how he's right and we're wrong. So verse 61, does this offend you? Verse 62, then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? This one's real easy to skip over, but what Jesus is saying there is like, if you're offended about the fact that I want you to eat my flesh and drink my blood to have real life, what if you saw all of my glory and authority? The real offensiveness about of the Lord's Supper, the real offensiveness of Jesus dying for us, is that God would stoop down to our level and let himself be killed for a bunch of betraying, sinful, cowardly people, right? Like, if you look at it from a heavenly perspective, the offensive thing is that God, who is so great, has come so low to us. So Jesus is like, you guys are offended because I'm talking this way, but like the real offense here is like, if you saw how glorious I am, there would be more logically to be offended about why I would come down to you guys and be consumed by you. I don't know if you're tracking with that, but here's what I will say on that. They're offended. They're wanting things to be easier. And Jesus just kind of like cranks up the confusion more, right? He doesn't just like, well, let me get a flip chart out for you. Or let me make it simple. Let me give you some pictures instead of words or something. Like, he doesn't just do that. He's like, I'm going to say something else that gets at who I am that's hard to understand. Maybe you've been walking with Jesus for a while and you get one victory and you stick with Jesus, and then it's like the exact same thing but harder comes right around the corner. And you're like, didn't I just do that? That's, Jesus just gives them another step. Like, are you going to stick with me here? And then verse 63, the Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I've spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and of life. Can you say that about your own words this week? Are your words full of the Holy Spirit and of life? Verse 64, yet there are some of you who do not believe. I want to pause there for a second. These are disciples, right? These are people following Jesus. They're putting in the legwork. They're not just talkers. Like, they're walking the walk. Literally, they're following Jesus around. And Jesus says, even though you've been doing the right thing on the outside, you don't really believe. Belief is the whole theme through John. We're going to keep coming up to belief. What does belief really mean? Belief doesn't mean that you're filling out a questionnaire and you mark like the box for Christian, right? Like, that's not what it means to believe in Jesus, right? And these guys, it doesn't even mean that you just get up in the morning and you go to the right place with the right people, because that's what these people were doing. At the end of the chapter, we're going to see some real belief, some people that stick with Jesus even when they don't understand. If I had to put another word in there for what John's talking about with belief, it would be trust. Do they trust Jesus? Ask that for yourself. Do I have a limit on my trust with Jesus? If I had broken 30-some bones in my body, would I still trust Jesus today, right? Like, we know Patrick would, right? What would be a limit for you where, like, if this is how far my trust would go, right? Because Jesus brings them right up to the edge of their trust, right? Like, they're sticking with him, but he brings them right up to the edge, and he makes them see it. Here's what we're going to say here, one more statement. It said, for Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. So a lot of times when we see betray and disciple, we think of Judas. He's going to talk about Judas in the coming weeks. Like, we'll see that in a little bit. This one, though, I don't think specifically he's talking about Judas. I think he's talking about these disciples who say they're followers of him, who walk behind him, but when things get hard, they turn their back on him. They betray this mission that they're on following him. Jesus went on to say, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. I want to read that to you again. Verse 66, from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Like, it's super sad, right? Like, Jesus sees with Kenny's level of belief, right? Jesus sees Larry's level of belief, right? And Chad and Katie, he sees each one of us. He knows exactly where we're at. And you might go through something really hard, and Jesus is going to bring you right up to the edge of it. And he's going to see, this is how far you can come with me right now. And he's going to ask you to go further. He's going to push you to the end of yourself and then say, will you take another step beyond what you can see, right? That's where trust comes in. That's where belief comes in, is when you step out beyond your limit. And Jesus pushes these disciples right up to their limit. And it's not so Jesus can know. Like, Jesus already knew on the front end what their limit was. But Jesus pushes them right to their limit because now they can see it. So a lot of those people were following Jesus and they thought, I'm a disciple. I'm a follower of Jesus. Well, when you are talking to Jesus and you turn your back and walk away from him, then you realize, like, I guess I got to say something different about who I am. Like, you learned the truth that you're, like, not a follower of Jesus because you're not following him anymore, right? Jesus brings them right up to this point, and they could either make or break it, right? And Jesus might be taking you to a spot in your life that's very hard right now in this season. He's not taking you there because he wants to be mean. He's taking you there because he wants you to trust him at a level that you've never trusted him before. Because if you trust him in that moment, you will grow in a way that you've never grown before. We're going to see it at the end of the chapter, because not everybody walks away. I think not a single person understands Jesus in this chapter. I don't think there's anybody that understands him, but there's some people that stick with him. And that's the question you have to make for yourself today, is like, am I going to stick with Jesus no matter what else happens? So one last thought. We'll go to my very last slide. I've kind of skipped a bunch of stuff. Go to my very last slide because we get to do something real exciting today with a baptism. But, okay, this silliness here, this is what that silly article on Gopher looked like, right? It's ridiculous looking, right? You get into this little terminal, it's just all text. You don't even use your mouse. You use your keyboard to go forward at it, right? And when I read that, what I'll tell you is, it was just me and this weird nerd in Portland, right? There's only two things there, right? I was really focused. I was really open. I really paid attention, right? It was hard. It was the hardest thing I've maybe ever read on the internet to get to. And I was super, super open to it. And whatever hard thing you're going through right now, if you will stick with Jesus, if you'll look for Jesus in the middle of that hard thing, he can get to a piece of your heart that he can't get to any other way. Like, the stuff that this guy said wasn't super amazing, but, like, I was so open to it. Like, I showed so much respect to it. It did, like, kind of stick with me. Like, they were good thoughts, even though they were simple. a lot of the stuff Jesus needs to get through to us, it's not, it's so like what Patrick said today. What would he tell to somebody going through something hard? I'd tell him to pray about it. Can you imagine if you had something hard going on in your life and you ran into another Christian just a Quick Trip and they're like, oh yeah, pray about it. You think how offensive that would be, right? Of like, pray about it. Like, this guy doesn't care about me at all. I just don't like. When Patrick, who's broken 30-some bones and is in a wheelchair, he says, if you're going through something hard, pray about it. It carries a whole different weight, right? Because all that he's gone through makes a really simple idea actually able to get into our heart. And when Jesus is pushing and pushing and pushing you, it's because he's trying to get probably a simple idea, but he's trying to get it deep into your heart, right? Sometimes offending us is the only way to get through all the clutter to, like, do you really trust me? Do you really trust Jerry? Do you really trust that Jesus has the best thing for you? And that he'll, if you stick with him, it'll be best. And Robert, do you trust the same thing, that Jesus has a plan for you? And he really has gifted you, right? Put that stuff in us. So I'm excited about today. I'm excited for what Jesus is doing here in our midst. And the whole mission at Maywood, this is kind of a symbol of what we're about to do. So I know we've got some folks getting ready to do baptism with Jenny. And so if you guys could come on down and come up. So, Donna, I think, I'm not sure, Donna, where you went, but Donna's praying. Yeah, Donna's right here. And then, and Mark Smith, if you can hear me, are you, Mark and Jenny, if you guys could come down, and then Eddie, if you could come up. Yeah. So there's a lot of moving pieces today, but one final thing to say, Jesus, on this mission to reach the world, most of us would think like, oh, if I want to reach the world, I need to get a whole bunch of people to follow me. Jesus in John 6 is actually, it feels like almost pushing people away. But if you'll read all of John 6 this week, what you'll see happens is Jesus gets this giant crowd together. Thank you, Jenny. Yeah, he gets this giant crowd together. I'll be real quick. And then he refines them down to who are the people that trust me. And those are the ones he goes with. Jesus' great commission that we're about here at Maywood, it's about helping people find new life in him. You don't have to go preach to 1,000 people this week, but will you walk alongside somebody and get them to really trust Jesus, really start obeying Jesus? So I'm going to hand things off to Eddie.
Sermons are great. This is my favorite part of any service right here. My name is Eddie Moss, for those of you that don't know me. My wife, if you've got young kids, you know my wife. She's the one with the purple hair that's been watching your kids. Sherry's backstage helping out. This is my favorite part because of what baptism says. When we teach the baptism class, we talk about it like a marriage, okay? When you say yes to God through what Christ did on the cross, you're signing that marriage license, okay? But until you go to church, until you walk up on the stage and you make promises in front of a group of witnesses, okay, that's something else. And that's what this is. This is what Jenny Howe is doing today. She's making promises to God in front of witnesses, okay? This is something incredible that I love. When Jenny first introduced herself to Sherry and I, she told us the story of her life, how she grew up in Catholicism, and how she was introduced in her teenage years to a Baptist church, to a youth group. And then that started a process of kind of getting her mind going in a different direction, getting her spirit going in a different direction. And that picture of the blacksmith working on the anvil, that's been Jenny's life for the last few years. If you don't know Jenny, talk to her. She'll educate you on what some pain really looks like in your life. She's got some stories to tell. And it'll change your life, okay? But she wants to use this sacrament of baptism to say, look, that old life is over. I'm done with that. I'm dying to that old life, and I'm celebrating my relationship with Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and this is a turning point in my life, okay? So that's what Jenny wants to say through this. She's asked Donna to pray for her. She's asked her good friend Mark to baptize her. Donna, you're going to pray for it. We're going to get this girl baptized.
Dear Jesus, I thank you for Jenny, that she has become a part of our family and a part of your family. Lord, I ask that you just keep her in your hands. I thank you for offering us, through your mercy, a relationship with you. And I ask that you continue to heal her wounds. I ask you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit's protection and the unification of her family. And I thank you, Lord, for this decision to be part of your family. In your holy name we thank you. Amen.
Great day to be at Maywood, and excited for Jenny and excited for Maywood. So let me pray a blessing over us, and we'll go. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and give you peace. Amen.